Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he tells us that the observance of Vaishnava etiquette is the ornament which makes a devotee beautiful, attractive in the eyes of God and in the eyes of the world. So I would like to speak a few words this morning in regard to some of the fundamental principles of Vaishnava etiquette within the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. In the Upadeshamrita by Srila Rupa Goswami, text 5, it is said that one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshiping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Within our Vaishnava tradition, it is a very important expression of humility to respect those who are in senior positions than ourselves. So the chain of seniority within our sampradaya is senior most is the spiritual master, the guru. He is to be respected as the representative of God. Sakshadharitvainasamastasasraya. And therefore, he should be given the same honor and respect that we give Krishna himself. Next are the sannyasis. Sannyasis are given respect amongst themselves in regard to seniority according to who had accepted that initiation of sannyas first. Those who have taken sannyas before other sannyasis are considered senior to them and offered a special respect. And then there are the Brahmins. And again, amongst the Brahmins, those who have been initiated previous are to be considered in a senior position in regard to Vaishnava etiquette. Then there are those who have accepted first initiation. And also within the Vaishnava sampradayas, there is also a special respect given to those who are senior in age. Now, how do we address various Vaishnavas? The Guru is given the address, His Divine Grace. A God-brother, His Grace. And a sannyasi, His Holiness. In regard to the etiquette of respecting Guru, one should, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya, that one should humble oneself to inquire submissively and be anxious to render service. Because whatever offering is given to the Guru, we should know that that is being offered to God. The order of one's spiritual master should be one's life and soul. I'd like to cite in our discussion today many instructions that Srila Prabhupada has given to his various disciples at various times and circumstances. It is explained by Prabhupada that in the presence of the spiritual master, one should not take one's own disciples. And one should simply obey the order of the spiritual master without question. Save and accept, we have a very advanced realization of how to please our guru, even when departing from his original instruction. But that is not something that should be done whimsically. There is the story of Lord Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that you should go to Bengal, you should not return to Jagannath Puri the next year. But Lord Nityananda came back to Jagannath Puri. But Lord Nityananda, in his high realization of understanding the true heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, knew that this would please him the most, and the result was that it did please him the most. Similarly, Ramanujacharya was given the instruction by his spiritual master that I am giving you this mantra, Om Namo Narayana. It is a secret mantra. Anyone who hears it will become liberated. You should not give this mantra to anyone else. So Ramanujacharya, upon receiving this mantra, he went to the top of the temple and he called the whole town together that I am going to give you a mantra that if you chant, you will be liberated. Now everyone chant together, Om Namo Narayana. And his guru heard the whole town tumultuously chanting this mantra in kirtan. So he became very angry and he approached Ramanuja. He called him and he said, why you have done this? And Ramanujacharya said, I know that it is offense that I may go to hell for disobeying your instruction, but I'm willing to go to hell if all the rest of the world is liberated. And then his guru, so pleased, embraced him with love and affection and said that you have understood the innermost core of my real heart. So unless we are on the level of Lord Nityananda or Ramanujacharya, and unless the result is that we are really, really pleasing our spiritual master, the disciple must simply obey, not question, not speculate. The picture of the spiritual master and the name of the spiritual master, as well as Krishna, is the same as the very person, and such honor should be given. In this regard, I'd like to read an instruction from Srila Prabhupada. He says that there is no difference between me and my picture. Therefore, we should honor and keep pictures in that spirit. If we throw pictures this way and that way, that is offense. The name and picture are as good as the person in the spiritual world. In the material world, either picture or person, everything is illusion. A disciple should never instruct one's guru. Hari Prashnena Sevaya means we should always inquire submissively. Even if we want to present something to our guru, thinking that this information will be helpful, we should always present it in a very humble spirit, a spirit of service, of spirit of submitting our information to him. But never should we be in the spirit of instructing our spiritual master, nor should we ever present ourselves in such a way. That is an offense. We should never argue with our spiritual master. We should never present our own qualifications to the spiritual master. In fact, we learn from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's relationship with his guru, Ishwarapuri, that he presented himself as a great fool. Although he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who possessed all opulences, he presented himself as fool number one, as did Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami was the most learned person in all the world, perhaps. But yet when he approached his guru, he did not say, I am a Brahmin. I am a prime minister. I am very learned in Sanskrit, in Bengali, in Urdu, in Persian, in all the great, in Arabic. I have studied all the scriptures. He never presented any of his qualifications to his guru, but rather he considered himself completely unqualified. In this way, one should never boast of one's accomplishments before one's spiritual master. Rather, if the spiritual master inquires in a humble and submissive frame of mind, we can simply report to him what has been done by his mercy. Also, according to the principles of Vaishnava etiquette, one should never sit on the same level as the spiritual master unless we receive his permission. We should also not freely associate with other spiritual masters without the permission and the blessings of our guru. And we should not read other books outside of what our guru has given us without the permission and blessings of our guru. After all, Srila Prabhupada have given such a majority of their life to writing these books for our benefit. And if we read them 100,000 times in our life, it's not enough. We should not venture into reading other books unless we have the permission and the blessings of Gurudev. In regard to proper Vaishnava etiquette with senior Vaishnavas, we should respect the godbrothers of the Guru as one respects the spiritual master. Throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he dealt with Advaita Charya, Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati. He always worshipped them and honored them and respected them as he would worship and respect his own guru, because they were the godbrothers of his guru. This is a very, very important principle of Vaishnava etiquette. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada writes, His Holiness Swami Sadananda, my German godbrother, may come to see you. When he comes, offer your respect by bowing down as you do unto me. And special respect should always be offered to sannyasis and to devotees senior in age. Srila Prabhupada, he writes to one of his godbrothers who was not a sannyasi. He says, My dear Jagannathan Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances. I am so glad to receive your letter dated February 10th, 1970. Perhaps you are the eldest amongst us now living as disciples of Srila Prabhupada. You are now 81 years old and I am only 74. Therefore, I am your younger brother and I shall always expect blessings from you. So here is how Srila Prabhupada is observing this etiquette. Although he is a sannyasi and he is speaking to one who is perhaps a grihasta, because of his senior age, Prabhupada is offering this special respect to him. Also, we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita how, although Ramachandra Puri was a very envious person, because of his being his guru's godbrother, and because of him being a sannyasi, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered him all respect. And he taught all of his disciples and all of his followers also to properly respect Sri Ramachandra Puri for his position. We should never instruct another person in the presence of our guru or in the presence of a senior Vaishnava without first receiving their permission. An example of this is when Uddhava, when he went to Vidura to receive knowledge from him. Although Vidura was a Paramhamsa who had full knowledge and full capacity to reply to all of Uddhava's questions, because Maitreya Muni, who was senior to Vidura, was present. Vidura went to Uddhava. But because Maitreya Muni was senior to Uddhava, Uddhava sent Vidura that you should inquire from Maitreya Muni. And this is very important. It is considered amongst Vaishnavas to be false pride to volunteer to instruct another person when we are in the presence of a senior Vaishnava, even if we know the answer. Unless the spiritual master or the senior Vaishnava gives you specifically permission to answer that question, you should simply remain silent and allow that senior Vaishnava to do the preaching. Srila Prabhupada explains sannyasis that they should be given respectful obeisances. In fact, he says, if one does not offer obeisances when one first sees a sannyasi in the day, it is such an offense that to atone for it, one must fast on that day. And it is explained that even Mayavadi sannyasis should also be given that respect. Srila Prabhupada quotes in this regard. Regarding your questions of how to offer respects to sannyasis, every sannyasi, even if you see a Mayavadi sannyasi, offer him your respects. There will be no harm. As you have observed, we shall follow Lord Chaitanya's instruction that we will give all due respects to others regarding their position. There is no need of always associating with each of them. Even if one is a Vaishnav, but not of good character, we can give him the Vaishnav respect, but we cannot associate with him. So if one is a senior Vaishnava, and we are doubtful of that person's particular character, or one is a sannyasi of any of the orders, we should offer all respect to that person by bowing down, but we should not by any means associate with such a person. And even amongst the Sahajya class, if they are in a senior position, we should offer our respects in formality, but we should not in any way associate. And an example of this is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was living in Varanasi. He would offer all respects to all of the sannyasis, but he kept to himself. He would never associate or speak or hear from any of them. And when he went into that assembly of the great Mayavadi sannyasis headed by Prakashananda Saraswati, when he first came in, he saw that these were sannyasis who were senior to him in rank, from a higher sampradaya, Saraswat sampradaya of Brahm, of sannyasis. He was a Bharati. So therefore, standing near the place where they would wash their feet, he offered his obeisances and bowed down to all of them. And then he was sitting on a lower platform than them. Prakasananda, he said, after seeing the beautiful effulgence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, why don't you come and sit with us? He said, no, I am an inferior sannyasi than you. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing this respect of the etiquette, of the seniority. And in this way he was also teaching us by his example. But he would not hear from them. He would only preach to them. He didn't want to hear anything they had to say. But when the opportunity was there, you see, when it was the opportunity, until they called him to hear from him, he didn't want anything to do with them except to offer respectful obeisances from a distance. It is explained in the Nectar of Instruction that one should never see or speak of a Vaishnava according to his bodily designations. One should overlook any bodily defect. One should overlook any deficiency in one's education. One should not consider a Vaishnava's caste or a Vaishnava's birth. One should understand that anyone who is a senior Vaishnava of the Lord should be understood as being a worshipable representative of Lord Krishna. In other words, it is very offensive to see a Vaishnava from the materialistic point of view. Now we are speaking of Vaishnavas who are in good standing within our sampradaya. And the example that is given by Rupa Goswami is, even though the Ganges appears to be polluted during the rainy season, still, we should not hesitate to take our bath and drink the water of the holy Ganges, because we know, because of its connection to the feet of Vishnu, it is always pure. So similarly, a Vaishnava who is humbly serving the Guru Parampara, who is humbly serving the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, that Vaishnava should be understood to be holy, and any defects should not be even considered in regard to the physical condition of that Vaishnava, or considering even the past of that Vaishnava. Even if that Vaishnava was born of an untouchable family and the most sinful of all sinners, we should not even consider or speak of those things. That is an offense. Of course, Haridas Thakur and Sanatan Goswami, they were outcasts, but they were respected in the most senior, supreme positions by all the sincere devotees of the Lord. There is a verse that it is hellish mentality, jati buddhi, to consider a Vaishnava to be born of a certain caste or creed, or to consider the Guru to be an ordinary person. Also, one should not accept any significant venture in one's life without first receiving the blessings of the Vaishnavas. Example of that is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he wanted to go to Vrindavan, or even when he wanted to go to South India, anytime he wanted to accept any significant venture in his life, he would not do so without first very humbly appealing to the assembled senior Vaishnavas and receiving their blessings. And also in regard to our own Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, before, although it was his Guru's order to come to the West, still before he came, he went to many of his senior most God brothers and requested their blessings and their permission before accepting this great service. In regard to the etiquette amongst God brothers, Srila Prabhupada writes, yes, to call one another Prabhu is all right, but not to become Prabhu. To accept others as Prabhu and remain as servant is the idea. But because somebody is calling you Prabhu, one should not become a Prabhu and treat others as servants. In other words, everyone should feel himself as servant and not to think himself Prabhu, because he is being called Prabhu. This will make the relationship congenial. So we are the servant of all of our God brothers. And according to a particular level of a God brother, we must serve them accordingly. To our senior God brothers, we should inquire submissively. We should carry out their instructions. We should aspire to be their obedient servants. To those who are equal, we should serve them by befriending them, by assisting them, by encouraging them. And those who are junior to us, we should be the servant. We should accept them as Prabhu by guiding them, by directing them, by encouraging them, by enlightening them, by teaching them how to advance in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada taught us that when we meet one another as God brothers, we should bow down and offer the prayer Bancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So when we are really in this spirit of being Das and accepting our God brothers as Prabhu, it is to be understood that we should never accept one of our own God brothers as a servant. We should never take a God brother as a personal servant. Save and accept unless we have the permission of our spiritual master. The example of this is Lord Chaitanya again. When Govinda came to him and requested to be his personal servant, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I cannot, you are my God brother. I cannot accept a God brother as my servant. You are my Prabhu, you are my master." And he appealed to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was very, very learned in the scriptures and very, very advanced and expert in the principles of Vaishnava etiquette, he explained that because Govinda was ordered by your guru to be his servant, to be your servant, therefore you must accept him. So therefore, unless we have the permission of the spiritual master, we cannot accept a God brother as our servant. Srila Prabhupada writes in this regard, why should he have a servant? God brothers are not meant for being servants. Without the spiritual master's order, nobody can utilize the service of a God brother as one's personal servant. We address each other as Prabhu, so how can we engage our God brother as servant? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged Govinda Das, who was his God brother, as his servant, but that was only on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master. The body of a Vaishnava is to be seen as the temple of Vishnu. And we should, when we are offering obeisances to the Vaishnava, we should know that we are also offering obeisances to a temple of Vishnu. Because a Vaishnava is always consciously carrying Vishnu within his heart. Therefore, as a matter of etiquette, one should never walk over the body of a Vaishnava. This is often done in our congregation very whimsically. One should never step over the body of a Vaishnava, and one should never touch the body of a Vaishnava with one's feet. And if accidentally one does so, it is the custom or the etiquette to take the dust of that devotee's feet as an atonement. Rupa Goswami explains that there are six loving exchanges amongst Vaishnavas. This is in the Sri Upadeshamrita. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad and offering prasad, are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. How do we accept prasad? When we come to the temple, we are accepting prasad from the Vaishnavas. For the grihasthas, it is their duty to invite the Vaishnavas to the home to offer them prasad. But we should also, as far as possible, try to follow the principles of etiquette in regard to taking prasad. In the Vaishnav society, and for that regard the society of all sadhus, when prasad is being served, the Vaishnavas chant prayers during that time. And after everyone in the room or the congregation is fully served the prasad, then everyone together offers their pranams and begins together. And there should be no, in a congregation of Vaishnavas, there should be no nonsense talk when taking prasad. But one should be very much in the consciousness of honoring the prasad as the very blessing and mercy of Lord Sri Krishna. And one should not get up to wash until everyone has completed their prasad. When everyone in the room has completed, then everyone rises together. If for some urgent reason one must leave early, one should not just get up and leave, but one should very humbly request the permission of the other Vaishnavas for their blessings to go. While taking prasad also, we should follow the principles of jhuta and ajuta. We understand that the saliva, the hair, and the nails of the body, when they are removed from the body, are considered to be contaminated. Therefore, when we begin to eat prasad, we should, of course, as you know, only eat with our right hand. As soon as we touch our hand to our mouth, it is considered contaminated. And we should never touch anything or anyone until it is washed. We should not serve prasad with that hand. We should not touch anything. And of course, it is also the Vaishnav principle that after eating, that we should go back and clean our own particular place, unless it is the policy of the ashram. That means clean it with water. Unless it is the policy of the ashram that someone is going to clean everything afterward. The idea is other people should not step at a place that we have personally contaminated. It is disrespect to the Vaishnavas. I know at New Vrindavan for so many years, after taking prasad, and at all temples that Srila Prabhupada established, after taking prasad, everyone would wash their own place. But of course, the idea is this, out of respect, no one should touch what we have contaminated. In regard to Rupa Goswami's explaining the giving and receiving of gifts, the most precious gift is the gift of transcendental knowledge, or the gift of Krishna consciousness. By hearing from a Vaishnava, we are receiving the most precious gift from him. And by speaking Krishna Katha to another Vaishnava, we are offering the most precious of all gifts, or charity. And, of course, devotees, according to our position and our relationship with senior, junior, or equal Vaishnavas, we should learn to reveal our mind, and we should learn to properly hear another person revealing his mind. How a brahmachari should see a woman, Srila Prabhupada explains that he should see every woman as his mother. In fact, a grihastha should see every woman except his wife as his mother. But if she is a Vaishnav, such a woman should be given all the respect of a Vaishnava. And they should be addressed with all respect as a Vaishnav and as our mother. But for brahmacharis, we should only associate as far as required to execute our service, and not more. When we enter into the temple, we should first bow down to the Vaishnavas. Then we should come before the Vyasasana, our spiritual master. And keeping the Guru to our left side, we should offer our prostrated obeisances. And then we should come before the deities. And keeping the deities to our left side, we should offer our prostrated obeisances. Next, I would like to speak briefly about the proper etiquette to non-devotees. To the innocent, we should be the well-wisher, the friend. With all respect, we should try to enlighten them in Krishna consciousness. We should give them the association of our spiritual master, but we should never accept their association by engaging in the activities that give them pleasure in life, which means material activities. And we should avoid the atheistic. It is an offense to the holy name of God to try to preach to those who are antagonistic or atheistic, or even to associate with such persons. Again, Lord Chaitanya, when he was in Banaras, until the Mayavadi sannyasis became submissive to hear what he had to say, he didn't bother even trying to preach to them, nor would he have any association with them. Because by preaching to such people who are not submissively willing to hear, we are giving them information by which they will simply commit offense. The more we instruct them, it is, Sanatan Goswami explains, it is like feeding milk and bananas to a serpent. The more you preach to such a person, the more venomous they become, the more offensive to Krishna and the Vaishnavas they become. So, following in the footsteps of the humility of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should not consider ourselves so advanced to venture into this realm of associating or trying to preach to atheists unless they are willing to submissively hear from us. When guests come to our temple or to our home, it is the Vaishnava etiquette that we must treat them with great respect and great love. Srila Prabhupada said that all guests that come to our temple should be welcomed with sweet words. They should be given prasad. Of course, if they come to our homes or our ashram, any guest should be given a sitting place, water, and sweet words and prasad according to our means. And Prabhupada told us that even if an enemy comes to your home, you must treat him in such a way that he forgets that he's your enemy. And the example of this, of course, in the Mahabharata is Duryodhana. Even though he was a demon in his dealings with the Pandavas, still, he understood that he would go to hell if he did not greet them properly when they came to his home. So when the Pandavas came to his tent, he treated them as very special honored guests. Srila Prabhupada also explains that one should not allow non-devotees to touch our feet. In this regard, I would like to read. You do not allow everyone to touch your feet. This is very good. But if they want to insist on touching your feet, and there is no other way to avoid it, you can simply remember your predecessor acharyas and spiritual masters and accept them and return namaskar with folded hands. That is the Vaishnav etiquette. Srila Prabhupada also explains in this regard how to greet karmis. He says that if a karmi is a friend, you just greet him, Hare Krishna, and with folded hands touch your forehead. If the karmi is a superior relative, then chant Hare Krishna and bow down to him on the ground. That should be the etiquette in our society transactions. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining that a Vaishnava, parents, senior Vaishnavas, senior relatives, even though they are karmis, still Prabhupada says we should bow down before them. And he practically ordered his disciples to do this when their parents would come. When Giriraj Maharaj's parents came to India, Prabhupada told him every day when the parents would walk in the room, he would say, you bow down to them, they are your parents. And Brahmananda, Gargamuni, when the mother came for initiation, after taking initiation, the initiation ceremony, they bowed down before Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, and now you must also bow down before your mother. She is your mother. So that is proper respect. Of course, if they are speaking to you something that is against the principles of your guru, you must respect them by carrying out the order of your spiritual master. But still, in regard to etiquette, there should be this offering of proper respect, as Srila Prabhupada has instructed. Yes?
Sometimes devotees among the teachers, that they touch their feet. Devotees, in a sporting way or out of reverence, sometimes they touch each other's feet. Is that bona fide?
Monks, Vaishnavas themselves, out of reverence, touching each other's feet. That is a sign of humility. But if you're disturbing a Vaishnava's mind, you should not be so inconsiderate. The idea is to please the Vaishnavas, to be the servant of the Vaishnavas, not to disturb the Vaishnavas. Would you like to add anything, Sri Kaliya?
What do you do if you're in Vrindavan and there's so many sannyasins walking down the street?
In that case, we should offer obeisances with folded hands and within one's mind. That is the way Srila Prabhupada has taught us.
You actually bow down, or you just fold your hands?
Folded hands. Of course, if it is a very exalted sannyasi, then we should bow down. But if there are not so many coming, then we should bow down. That is practical.
We face two or three at one point of time. Whom do we offer respect to first, or do we offer respect to both of them together?
Are you speaking of within our, amongst our own devotees?
Yeah. Happens very often.
According to who has taken sannyas first, that person should be offered respects first. But you can also offer, if there are several in a room at one time, you offer obeisances to all of them at the same time is appropriate. Any other questions?
What about remnant prasada?
It is the principle of Vaishnava etiquette not to leave remnants. As far as possible. You should not leave your remnants for another. But as far as receiving the remnants of another Vaishnava, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says there are three things we should get at all costs, by any means: the remnants of the Vaishnavas, the dust from the feet of the Vaishnavas, and the water that washed the feet of the Vaishnavas. So we should be anxious to obtain it, but we should not offend them. We should not make them feel awkward in the way we do it. Just like Kalidas, he knew that Lord Chaitanya was very much not uncomfortable for anyone to take the water from his feet. And he knew that all Vaishnavas were very uncomfortable for people to take their remnants. So what he would do is he would offer them mangoes, and he would hide in the forest. And when the mango pits were put in the garbage, he would go out and get it. And then he would get their remnants, but at the same time not embarrass them or put them in an awkward position. So we should be very happy and anxious to receive the remnants of Vaishnavas. But we have to respect the desires and the feelings of that Vaishnava. Any other questions?
When offering the ghee lamp in the morning, after any arguments, usually always a tricky, I think, the boys in our temple do it. And I was thinking of stopping them and getting the devotees from it. Because I told them that first of all, they should give all the sannyasis, then the Guru's Ghar brothers, and after that they should go in sitting or in standing order wherever people are.
Practical. If it's an environment where it can easily be offered according to the seniority of the Vaishnavas, first would be the Guru, then the Guru's godbrothers, then the sannyasis, then those who are Brahman initiates, then who are first initiates, then the bhaktas, then the guests. But if it is a crowd, at least we should follow the etiquette of giving to the sannyasis and the Guru's godbrothers and the Guru first, and then to the general devotees.
General devotees in any order, depending on the convenience, whether sitting or standing.
That is practical. If it is practical to do it very carefully, then we can do, but the ghee lamp will go out, then nobody will get if we take too much time. So we should just give to the general body of the devotees, after the sannyasis, the godbrothers of our Guru and our Guru.
Because it means that the person, this is a small boy, the devotee is making judgments. And then he's going around.
You see, the thing is this, that we don't want to offend anyone. So the easiest way to not offend anyone on a practical level in this regard is to simply first offer to the sannyasis and then indiscriminately to all the devotees. Then no one will feel that, oh, why like this? Just whoever's closest in role.
Bhakta also instructed us to, if our parents are present, it should be given after the sannyasis. Because when we have the Gurukula, he instructed the children not to offer. And after the Guru goes to the sannyasis, and from the sannyasis goes to if the father is present or the mother.
Age. What is your question?
Age is also a material quality. Age, whether a person is older.
Oh, age. Yes, but a devotee still respects a person according to his age. But a devotee does not criticize or judge a person because of physical defects. But he can honor a person out of etiquette because of his
particular physical stature. You understand what I'm saying? Shukadeva Goswami was 16 years old, but yet even the eldest people in the congregation, they respected him as the senior most because of his pure vice. So we never should see any physical condition of a Vaishnava to be a disqualification. But out of respect, a person who is older should always be given respect, special respect. That is Vaishnava culture.
The battle of Kurukshetra was won because of his respect for his senior men who were on the other side before the battle started. He got down off his chariot and he stripped himself of his armor and weapons and he started walking to the other side. So the brothers also followed and Krishna also followed. So first of all he came to Bhishma. And he bowed down before Bhishma and stood before him and he said, Grandfather, you give me permission to fight and win victory. So Bhishma was very pleased with that humility and he said, if you had not come to me in this way, he said, you would have been defeated. He said, now you have my blessings to win victory. So then he went to Drona. He did the same thing, and then he went to Kripacharya and did the same thing. Finally, he went to Salya. He also went to Salya. Salya was Madri's brother, so he was uncle in a senior position, so he went and also offered respects to him, and the response was the same. They all gave their blessings for victory. And then they went back to their chariots and got on their chariots, and then Arjuna, before the fighting started, he offered obeisances to Bhishma by shooting an arrow into the ground before him. That was his way of offering his respects to his senior. And then he shot an arrow by his ear. Although you're a senior, I will fight with you also. And the same he did with Drona. He released an arrow in the ground in front of him, offering his respect, and then he shot an arrow by his ear. I am also prepared to fight with you. So because he got the blessings of senior men on the other side, of course Krishna was present on the chariot of Arjuna. That was ultimately the ultimate deciding factor. But Yudhisthira, being a Vaishnava, and a very kind-hearted Vaishnava, he wanted to respect everyone. So he paid attention to this etiquette of offering respect to all. Even during the Rajasiya sacrifice, he tried his best to calm down Shishupal. He went to him and pleaded with him to shut up. Because after Shishupal went over 101 blasphemies, then Krishna just cut off his head. But he tried his best to pacify him. So, and because of that, he was respected by everyone. When they went to the forest, everyone followed practically out of the city. Practically there was no one in the city when Yudhisthira went to the forest when they were banished. He had to force them to go back. And even the brahmanas refused to go back. And he was in great anxiety. How will I feed these men? You know, we're living in the forest. How am I going to get food for them every day? So he was in great anxiety. So I think it was Domya recommended that he worship the sun god. So he did that. He entered the Ganges River and he worshipped the sun god by very severe tapasya. He just stood in the water for so many days. He didn't eat or drink anything. 10-12 days. So then Surya was pleased with him and gave him a pot, a copper pot, and told him that he could feed an unlimited amount of people as long as the food in this pot had not, that Draupadi had not eaten. So he was very happy that he could receive these brahmanas and keep them in the forest. Now he had a way to do it. So Yudhisthira was a very kind-hearted Vaishnava, and he very much respected this etiquette. And because of that, because he respected every living being, he was loved by everyone. And the difference between Yudhisthira and Duryodhana was really marked in the training between the two. When Dronacharya, he requested them, he said, I want you to go out and find somebody, or he told Duryodhana, I want you to go out today and find somebody who is better than you. And he told Yudhisthira, I also want you to go out and find somebody who has some fault. So they both went out, and toward the end of the day, Duryodhana came back, and he said, Master, he said, I looked all day, but I could not find anybody better than me. And then Yudhisthira came at the end of the day. It happened to be a codicil. So he said, Master, I looked all day, but I couldn't find anybody with fault. Except toward the end of the day, I saw somebody drawing water from a well. Because I guess in those days on a codicil, nobody drank even water. So he said, I was going to bring that person to you, but he took the water and gave it to his horse. So because I'm the only one with fault, I have to present myself to you. So by that example, he saw that Yudhisthira was fit to rule because he respected every living being, which is the quality of a topmost Vaishnava. So that etiquette is followed by advanced devotees of the Lord, just like we see Srila Prabhupada here, followed this Vaishnava etiquette. So it's a very important thing to do. It's Ramachandra Puri. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya would show him the etiquette, sometimes he would ignore him. He did both. Similarly, sometimes Srila Prabhupada very much respected his godbrothers. Sometimes he called them black snakes. But that was a relationship only between his godbrothers. It's not that we could have called them black snakes. This one Van Maharaj, he called a black snake. But Prabhupada instructed us, you don't call him a black snake. He said, that is a relationship between me and my godbrothers. It's transcendental. So it's hard to understand sometimes that somebody that Prabhupada would criticize repeatedly, and then that person left his body, Prabhupada said he went back to Godhead. Because there's a transcendental, sometimes on the transcendental platform there's some disagreements, but it's over the service to Krishna. But generally speaking, Prabhupada followed this Vaishnava etiquette. Lord Chaitanya followed the Vaishnava etiquette. Even if someone is inimical.
I wish that deal with people who are who are inimical toward our spiritual master, or who are not recommended to be associated with by our spiritual master, inform the release path. Their heart give the release path. We should not have any association.
Receiving the obeisances from?
Any general people.
General people or Vaishnavas?
Well, they're becoming Vaishnavas. They're chanting.
You should, with folded hands, offer your obeisances with your mind. So the Prabhupada explains that to people who are becoming Krishna conscious, but who are not strictly following the principles of Gurudev, with our mind we should offer obeisances and with folded palms. But for those devotees who are really dedicating themselves to following the principles of the spiritual master, we should bow down before them.
Well, we go out for lectures and then we, there are certain people who have come who offer obeisances. Then there are regular outsiders who have come, and also people who are congregational devotees who come regularly, they also come. They offer obeisances. At that time, for you, each of you will bow down, because he is initiated, he is a godfather. In public, like East or do that all just. Sometimes they are senior by age, they are also dressed as. In fact, they are taking English
back. We should bow down. But of course, if we are in the midst of giving a lecture, we are representing our spiritual master through his words, and we should just put folded palms. Otherwise, we should bow down. Folded palms and in our mind. Is that clear? Is that your question? Depends on the person. The person is coming for such a long time and he's not offering any service. Just coming to eat. Then it is not an offense. You should do it as respectful as possible. the demigods are great Vaishnavas. We should respect them as Vaishnavas, and we should bow down and offer obeisances. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, in his South Indian tour, he visited many of the temples of the demigods and offered his obeisances and worshipped them as Vaishnavas. According to the etiquette of those people, you should bow down in your mind. It's the house of God. You can also bow down on your knees. Either one is good. Whichever one is best for preaching. God is transcendental. Whatever will best bring that person closer to Krishna, whatever is best for preaching, we should do like that. Whatever will help to create a bond of friendship in the hearts between two people, you should address him in that way. Yes? What is your answer, Sri Gavin?
Offer Prasad to demigods. Generally speaking, we don't take. This is a very common thing in Malaysia. I found that we have to go to the temples and we have to be offered a good one of them. But generally speaking, we don't take Prasad to demigods.
But if it's a matter of preaching, or you will offend someone, you should, in your mind, offer it to your spiritual master, and then accept it. But generally, we should not accept it. We should avoid it, but for preaching there is no alternative, and we should just very humbly beg the forgiveness of our guru and offer it to his lotus feet and then accept it in our mind. We should try to avoid it as far as possible. Carefully study what has been said today and apply it to our daily lives.
we have gone over time with Chintananda. Should we have the class still today, or should we wait till tomorrow?